Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Shoup.
Mary Washington Hospital Healthcare Pediatrics, our focus this morning. Pediatrician Dr. Richard Irwin is with us. Dr. Irwin, it's great to meet you. Great, good to have you here this morning.
Well, it's great to be here, Ted. Thanks for having me, and I'm glad I can help.
Yeah, we've got a lot of things, I think a lot of interesting things to talk about this morning. One interesting thing that I just found out, I mean, you grew up around here. I mean, you usually hear from doctors, and they've come in from far and wide, but you actually grew up around here.
I did, for the most part. You know, I've been here since I was about 7 years old, went to school here, and left after high school, did some other education, and just kind of gradually migrated back, and my wife's from here as well, so we kind of thought this would be a great place to come back and start a family. So
well, that's great. I'm super happy
to be here.
I wish I could have you talk to my kids who couldn't wait to get out of here. They've gone as far away as they can.
Yeah, it's a great area. It's got, downtown is fantastic. It's got history and culture, and then, you know, the suburbs have everything you could ever want. We're close to D.C. and Richmond, so we're super happy to be here.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. What school did you graduate from here?
I graduated from Massaponics High School. I was one of the first classes there. I actually went to Cortland High School for my ninth grade year, and then they kind of rezoned things, and I went over to Massaponics. So
you did really grow up. Was your wife the same? Did she grow up in Spotsylvania?
She did. Yep. She was also Massaponics. She actually was about 2 years beneath me in school, from actually high school all the way through even college, and we were kind of friendly. Actually, our families were friends, and we kind of gradually kind of got to know each other better through the future, as time went on. And she's the best thing that ever happened to me. So,
well, that's really nice to hear. What a great story! And now your office is not too far, I guess, from where you have always been, over on Salem Church Road.
Yeah, it's a great location there, right on Salem Church, and that's actually took over for Dr. Aronson and Dr. Gayden previously were the pediatricians there, and it was called Rappahannock Associates. And Dr. Aronson was actually my pediatrician when I was a kid. As I was finishing residency, he kind of just gave me a call, and the rest is history. So I kind of, inherited his patients there. Then the hospital approached us, and it made sense to – it's tough to make it as solo practitioners these days. So to have the hospital's infrastructure and backing is super helpful, and it's been a good fit. So.
Well, I was telling you before when I saw your name, I thought I have seen that name before. And then when I saw where you practiced, your office is part of where I walk on the weekends I walk from the Timbers all the way over to Salem Church, and then there's a sidewalk that goes right by your office. So I thought I've seen that name on the sign, so I am really aware of where you're at.
Yeah, and we were just talking about that trail. That's a great little hidden trail.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it'll take you from Salem Church. If you put the two pieces together, it'll take you from Salem Church all the way to Gordon Road. But it is a great thing. So, you have seen things change around here. When did you decide that you were going to go into healthcare and become a doctor?
I kind of took a roundabout path to medicine. So I ended up doing, in college, I was kind of a bioethics person. And then I even thought about doing health law for a while and did some things there. And then kind of gradually thought, hey, you know, I actually want to be on the front lines of this. And went back, I had to go back to school and do my pre-med. And actually did that in Philadelphia. And then decided in med school, hey, I want to do peds. It's been a great fit for me. So,
I also found out just a few minutes ago that your father is a physician.
Yep, he's a neurologist, and he's been here for, you know, gosh, 30 years or so. So, yep. So we've been here for quite a while.
It is in the family. It also speaks well that here you are today, and as a pediatrician in the area, and coming from Spotsylvania County Schools, that you can come from any size school and get the kind of education you need to be able to move forward.
Absolutely. I mean, the schools in the area are great, and really, I do think it's important that, you know, you can go into medicine, you can go into any of the fields within, you know, nursing, you can do what you want. You don't have to go to a prestigious school, you know, work hard, get your degree, and you know, some of the best doctors and nurses I know have been to, you know, they've gone to colleges or that maybe you've never heard of, but they've gotten great educations there, and they're fantastic at their jobs. So.
We often hear about so many, whether it's a teacher shortage, or we did a show last week with Jermaine on the nursing shortage. As far as pediatricians go, or is there a good number? Do there need to be more?
That we do need more pediatricians. We need everybody in primary care. You know, there is a shortage there, so. We need as many as we can get.
Well, and in thinking about this and thinking of you coming in today and thinking just with my own kids, boy, the relationship between a family and a pediatrician is pretty close. It's pretty special.
It is. I love it. I love to be able to see, you know, I started here in, I guess, summer of 2017. And so the kids who I initially saw it and, you know, established those relationships with their families, you know, they're, you know, 4 or 5 now. And it's really cool to be able to say, hey, I actually knew you when you were a baby, and I've you know, seen you grow up and develop, and I know them. So I can remember every single, well, most illnesses or anything significant that's happened with them. And it's just cool to have that entire picture.
Oh, I know in the case with one of my daughters, when she got older and she couldn't go to her pediatrician, she couldn't go to the person who was her pediatrician. I mean, she was just devastated when we said, you're not going to be able to go to her anymore.
Yeah.
And it was a traumatic kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Eventually that happens. But yeah, it's cool to even see kids go to college and, you know, start their careers and, to be able to, you know, I know Dr. Aronson would see people around town and say, oh, you were my patient. You know, I remember you from way back when. And
so
it is cool. You've got the entire spectrum there of seeing them through childhood to adulthood.
Oh, so it is. And boy, the relationship, Dr. Irwin, that you have with parents, especially with younger kids, because parents are sort of they've got to be kind of the eyes and ears to everything that's going on, because a lot of times kids aren't able to verbalize what is happening.
Oh, yeah. It's important to have a good relationship with parents and to be able to, like you said, they're oftentimes your eyes and ears. So, you've got to be able to trust what they're saying and be able to communicate with them and be able to just have that relationship. Because like you said, they're a vital part of the history taking and everything like that. So.
Dr. Richard Irwin here, a pediatrician with Mary Washington Healthcare Pediatrics. We're going to continue along in these COVID days. I'm sure it's been very interesting being a pediatrician, and we'll jump into that after this quick break. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving for daily life, travel, or just having fun. Visit goevmobility.com. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Mary Washington Healthcare Pediatrics, our focus this morning. Pediatrician Dr. Richard Irwin is in his office. He is on Salem Church Road in Spotsylvania. Boy, Dr. Irwin, I can't imagine what COVID has been like for you and how different this show and probably our conversation is this morning. If we'd done this 2.5 years ago, it would have been totally different, I'm sure, than what you're dealing with right now.
It's been a game changer. Yeah, it's crazy. You know, I never would have envisioned anything like this 3 years ago. So.
Well, you know, it is. And I can't imagine, especially in the early days, it had to be really, really difficult for especially you as a physician, and you're dealing with kids, just about how you carry on and do what you do.
Yeah, and you know, initially it was, you know, we were trying to rightfully so at the time, keep people out of the office and, you know, keep people mm-hmm. at home and from spreading. And then that had its merits. And then eventually we realized, hey, you know, we're missing things. You know, we need to bring people back into the office and, you know, we need to get kids caught up on their vaccines and their well checks. And, you know, because we were, you know, other disease processes carry on and across the country, we realized we need to bring people back in, and this is important. And so we opened the doors safely, and we've been trying to do that since, and just trying to maximize the what we can do to prevent spread and to keep people safe. So
yeah,
that's been the name of the game lately. So.
Well, and one of the things you're dealing with right now is what's the vaccine status now for kids?
So it's approved 5 and up. So most recently, Pfizer it's been approved for age 5 to 11.
Okay.
Previous to that was, you know, we did have the 12 to 17 group had been approved, and we're seeing good vaccination rates. So we across the country, about 5 million in the 5 to 11 range have been vaccinated, and then about 15 million in the 12 to 17 group, and it's gone well. You know, we haven't seen any significant adverse events, you know, nothing out of the norm for what we would expect. So I haven't had any calls about adverse effects or anything like that. Everybody's handled it well, and I do think it's playing an important role in preventing transmission, most importantly.
So. I'm sure that in your position right now that it's something that the parents do talk to you about and seek your counsel about kids and whether they're – which either category, the 5 and up or 12 to 17. How do you talk to – or what are some of those conversations like?
They do, yeah. They I've had a lot of people come to me, you know, and I think it's important to try to put aside any preconceived judgments or beliefs you might have from non-scientific sources, and just I'd like to just answer straight up and give people what I know factually and medically, and I think people appreciate that. I'm not gonna peddle anything false towards them, and it's gonna be what I believe, and you know, it's what I've been trained to do, and it's what I do. So I read, I keep up on this stuff, and I think people appreciate that. And so, yeah, I do get a lot of questions about it, and that's what I'm here for.
Well, one of the topics that I hear a lot from parents are concerned about is, especially if their kids are in situations and around people, adults that haven't been vaccinated, and just concerns about it, especially if their kids haven't been vaccinated at that point. This was a little bit back, and I guess that's where masks come in, and just to do a lot of the things that we know to do now, whether it's hand washing or distancing or masks, especially when you're dealing with kids or adults that haven't been vaccinated.
Yeah, and right now, especially with the weather getting colder, we're spending more time indoors. It's holidays, so you know people are going to be getting together. It's like you said, it's super important to do those things, like try to increase ventilation, mask, hand wash. I think all those are super important. And one thing, you know, with holiday gatherings coming up, I think one thing that we need to stress is, so what I want people to do is, you know, before a holiday gathering, try to, for several days prior to that, I want people to try to stay, I won't say secluded, but, you know, mm-hmm. avoid other big gatherings prior to that, and maybe consider especially depending on what area you're coming from, if it's a high-risk area, and especially if there's anybody who's particularly medically vulnerable or high-risk at the gathering you're going to consider a test before, just to make sure that you're negative and certainly make sure that you're well. You know, if you have any fever, cough, any symptoms at all, you know, you should stay away from whatever gathering that is.
So. And if you were to get, say you were to get, decide to get the vaccine today, with Christmas fast approaching, it's probably, you wouldn't be fully vaccinated.
You wouldn't be fully vaccinated. Yeah, it takes about, you know, 2 weeks, after the second one.
Right.
So you'd be looking at about 5 weeks from now until you're fully vaccinated, but you can still do, you know, it does help to have the one. And certainly mm-hmm. it's not outside of people's capabilities to just safely, you know, attend gatherings. Meaning by that, I mean, try to, you know, don't go to a concert unmasked, you know, 2 days before your family gathering where, you know, Nona's going to be there or, you know, so. Try to lay low for a couple of days prior, and especially, you know, if you're unvaccinated, maybe consider a test before you go there. And then even a couple of days after, you know, for several days after the gathering, try to lay low and make sure that you stay healthy before you kind of go back into society.
And like you say, you know, maybe get tested. And there are all kinds of the libraries now have these test kits you can get. So there are ways that you can test.
Yeah, it's
helpful.
You can get them online. You can get them at you know, drugstores. Yeah, a lot of the you know, pharmacies or you know, like you said, some different community outreach programs have them as well. So.
And I guess, especially when you think of holiday gatherings, and especially with children or young children, if you're getting together with cousins and all, maybe we don't do a lot of hugging, and maybe as annoying as it can be, to
true.
Keep practicing this just to stay healthy.
Yeah, and if it's a warm day, maybe try to keep some
yeah.
of it outside or in a garage. You know, ventilation has been shown to be super helpful here, so if you can maximize those settings, that's fantastic. But yeah, I think it's important to do this. You know, one thing that we hear a lot is, you know, kids do well, and thankfully kids do well mm-hmm. With COVID. You know, it's not to say, you know, that there have been tragedies, and you know, I think about a little over 600 kids have passed away from it, and thankfully, it's rare.
Yep.
But I think the most important thing is that kids do account for over 25% of new infections, and they do spread it. And so having kids vaccinated is important to protect the kids themselves, but also to protect relatives. So, you know, I've sadly seen kids in the office who have lost their fathers, grandparents, and in many cases, grandparents who are primary caregivers. So, I mean, this is a major. I think we can't discount the psychological, the emotional toll of losing a parent or grandparent. About 140,000 kids have lost a parent or grandparent between April 20 and June 21. So, that's a huge number.
It is.
And I think, you know, we hear numbers like that and our eyes kind of gloss over, but that is a huge number. And if you think about just, you know, if every person in Stafford County represented one of those kids, that would be the entire county. You know, that's a huge number of kids who have lost in the most tragic way. So,
and you mentioned, you know, knowing kids that have had that, and you see when all of a sudden all it takes is to know a family or two.
Exactly. That, and it hits hard, you know, when you see a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old go through this and have to get them into grief counseling and just you know, that there's no handbook or manual on how to do this, and it's but when you see this, it rips you apart, and then those families are being ripped apart, and it people don't understand it, but it's real. It happens. And I beg of people, you know, parents, get vaccinated, if not for yourself, for your kids, just so that they have you around. It's that simple.
Hate to hear the stories, and we've seen some in this area of people who've resisted, and when they have gotten it, and it, you know, some of their last words have been, "I wish I had been vaccinated." You don't want to get in that position.
That's true, and you know, if you look at in terms of, you know, young adult or mid adult parents who are passing away, they're almost always unvaccinated. If you look at the numbers in the hospital as of yesterday, I mean, there were 28 people under age 65 who were hospitalized at Mary Washington with COVID, and 28 of them, 100% of them, were unvaccinated. So the vaccine works. You know, it's not perfect. It doesn't entirely prevent transmission. It doesn't entirely prevent disease, but it does do a very good job at preventing significant illness and significant disease. So, in that sense, it's a fantastic vaccine.
Oh, it is. Mary Washington has, what a service to the community. A couple times a week, when they put out that graph that shows you the people hospitalized and the people that are vaccinated and unvaccinated, and it's, you know, like you say, it's just, you look at that, and those numbers don't lie.
It's eye popping, yeah. And so it's undeniable. It works. And I can guarantee you that the families who have come in with who have been touched by tragedy in the worst way, they are wishing that their family member had gotten it. So
now, and especially it hasn't been until just recently that we've been able to, the kids have been able to be vaccinated. So for so long that they weren't, but now that that's available, and you mentioned
true, they are a driver of disease here, so it's you know, getting them vaccinated is super important, and I think the country's responded so far. Mm-hmm. You know, we most states are somewhere between, you know, 5% and 50% of kids are now vaccinated, but it's climbing, it's rising, and hopefully down the pike here, pretty soon we'll have kids even under 5 will be able to be vaccinated. So I think it's an awesome thing.
Yeah. Pediatrician Dr. Richard Irwin here with Mary Washington Healthcare Pediatrics. He's on Salem Church Road. We'll take a break and continue on. We'll talk about this more, and we'll talk about the flu shots and other things as we go along this morning with Dr. Irwin on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:31.
Okay, listen, we got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit GoEVMobility.com. You can weigh in about today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Mary Washington Healthcare Pediatrics are our focus this morning. Pediatrician Dr. Richard Irwin is here. His office over on Salem Church Road in Spotsylvania. Before we move on from COVID, the Delta variant, I know at first there was a concern that might impact kids, and is that still a concern for unvaccinated kids?
So yes, I was quite scared back in July, August, before we knew how it would impact them.
Yeah.
And rates of significant illness are not higher with Delta as compared to previous variants, thankfully. But it's still, kids are still susceptible. And it's, you never know with COVID. It could be a perfectly healthy kid who ends up getting hospitalized, or obviously, you know, if you're in a high-risk population, you're still susceptible. Thankfully, you know, I've had – actually, this week was the first time I've had to have a kiddo admitted for COVID, which I can't say the same for RSV and flu. I mean, those are typically – I will admit and have admitted – more for those. But you never know. The child who has a 12-year-old with COVID, he's on the ventilator right now at Inova. I mean, it's and I'm just praying that he does well. But it's sad and it's unpredictable.
And that's the thing we've always talked about with COVID. It is so unpredictable that you hear of very healthy people early on. That was what was scary. Some healthy people would get it, and others it was fine. You didn't want to be in that category.
Yeah, I mean, and even just me putting aside like my medical brain and all medical training and things like that. If you just think about, okay, there's this bug out there now that can take a totally healthy person and just give them a horrible pneumonia. And even short of that, for some people, take away their sense of taste and smell. Like, that's a pretty powerful and just random and just scary concoction of bad things. And so it's even just, a priori, just on the face of it, it just seems like a scary thing. So, to me, get vaccinated. It works.
Yeah.
You don't want to get it. I mean, it's not – thankfully, most of us will do well, but it's just random. You never know. And it just makes sense to me to want to protect the vulnerable people around us.
So. Right, yeah, and especially with the holidays coming up and all that. But again, just the story you tell of someone that had to be admitted. Those are scary stories.
It is. It's super scary. And the worst part of all of this has been those times when I've had to talk with those kids who have lost their fathers in all these cases, and it's horrible. It's by far the worst thing I've had to do in my career so far. So.
And especially when there's a vaccine. So the bottom line is get vaccinated.
Yes, please.
And with your kids too. And if you do, like you say, if you do have questions, talk to your pediatrician. Talk to somebody who's gonna look at the facts.
Yeah, absolutely, I think that's a good lesson. So,
Dr. Richard Irwin, pediatrician, Dr. Richard Irwin here this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA. As we go along with the flu shots and flu out now, how important is it to get flu shots for kids?
It's important, I can tell you. So kids do a lot better with flu if they are vaccinated. So if you look at annual flu deaths, over 80% of pediatric flu deaths occur at unvaccinated. So it helps reduce disease burden significantly.
Is there a certain age that what's the age range for flu shots for kids?
Flu shots are over 6 months are eligible, okay. And so. We want everybody over 6 months every flu season. And the first time you get a flu shot in your life, if you're less than 9 years old, you're supposed to get a booster a month later. So 4 weeks after the first one, you would get a second one, is what we do. So, but the flu shot is important, especially this year with just a ton of other respiratory diseases running around, just to keep if for no other reason, you keep hospitals and ERs, keep them able to, keep them unburdened so that when something else happens, you're able to go to the ER and seek care. So I've seen that where I can't, I've called the ER and they have, they're trying to send a kid over for something and they say, no, we can't do that today. And it's not their fault. They are just totally slammed. They don't have the beds or the resources to operate like they should.
Wow, what a terrible feeling though for in your case, because if you're to that point, the person needs the ER.
Yeah, and so we're left calling multiple places around the state sometimes trying to get somebody seen, and so just if we can all do our part by, you know, it's a small thing, but, you know, if we can all get mm-hmm. our vaccines, and it will go a long way towards keeping us all healthy, and then also keeping us out of ERs and hospitals so that when other things happen, people are able to get care.
We talk about the flu shot, but also because you mentioned just a second ago about childhood vaccines and how important that is. I know with my own kids, you just never thought there was a checklist of things that you got your kids shots for, and hopefully people are continuing to do those kind of things.
Yeah, and we didn't used to question these things.
No, never.
Somehow it got politicized and. I don't know how that happened, but it did, and I just want people to know that, you know, I don't get paid to say these things, or, you know, I'm not in the pharmaceuticals on their payroll or anything. This is me doing my job, and vaccines work. They save lives. Yeah, they're not perfect, but they're what we have, and so I like to say, you know, with, you know, seatbelts aren't perfect. You know, you might get in a car accident and it might not work, but mm-hmm. it is what we have, and it is better than nothing. So as far as that goes, I think that's a good analogy.
No, I've always felt a few years ago, I was getting a flu shot, and a few years ago. It had gotten pretty sick, but I remember thinking and talking to various doctors have said you probably would have been a lot sicker, without the flu shot.
Yeah, absolutely. The flu shot it's usually about 50-60% where it, you know, every year the scientists try to predict which with the flu there's like you know antigen drift, and every year there's different. Various mutations on it, and they try to predict which protein spikes and stuff is going to be on it, and they're usually about 50-60% right, where, you know, it's going to cover that strain 50-60% of the time, mm-hmm. Which is, like I said, better than nothing. And you do actually get some cross antibody coverage even if it's not the same strain, but with COVID it's 100%. It covers it, you know. It might not prevent you from contracting it, but it does significantly prevent significant disease burden. So the COVID vaccine, in that sense, is a fantastic vaccine, which we should be super thankful for. And there are people all over the world who are wanting and needing this, and we're taking it for granted. So
I was just going to say, I have seen different places, a lot of third world countries that are just, you know, desperately want it, and we're protesting against it. So there's something just doesn't seem right.
Doesn't make any sense.
No. Like you say, I remember walking down to the lunchroom and at school and you know, either getting a sugar cube or getting a shot different times, and it was accepted. This is what we do.
Yeah, and I understand. You know, it's new. You know, it hasn't been out for that long. It's a new science, at least with the mRNA vaccines. But if you think about the science of it. There's no biological reason why it would cause infertility or anything else, and in fact, it hasn't yet. You know, if you look at the, you know, 30, 40 plus million women who have pregnant women who have gotten it, they haven't had any adverse effects. If you look at the 20 million kids who have had it so far, you know, we haven't seen anything. And there's no reason to think that it could cause, and in fact, it's scientifically impossible that it's going to cause some of these issues that people are afraid of. So, you know, just the mRNA doesn't get into the nucleus of the cell; it doesn't mm-hmm. change anything. It gets in there. It your cells uptake it. The mRNA is what it is. It's information, and it teaches your cells how to make a particular protein that looks like the COVID virus, and then as a result, your body makes antibodies so that when you encounter the virus, you've got that leg up, and you've already got that army of antibodies ready to go. And then that particular, the vector initially, the mRNA is broken down, and doesn't ever enter the nucleus, doesn't get into your genes, it doesn't do anything like that. So
yeah, and initially, I know that was a concern with some people, but you explained that well, and that's been proven that it doesn't.
Yeah, there's no more reason to think that it would cause you to grow a third ear than to think that it would make you infertile or something like that. I mean, it just makes no sense.
Well, and just the fact with the vaccine itself, like you say, that just the sheer numbers of us who now have it, and there have not been any kind of widespread cases.
I haven't had. I mean, we've given. I mean, even just at the Fix Center, you know, thousands of kids around the area have had the vaccine now, and I've had zero calls about anything.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
exactly zero calls. So it's very well tolerated. It's safe and it works. So.
That's the headline of this show. Just that fact for people that are wondering about kids that you of all people, if there were you would have heard just with the number of people getting it.
Yep, exactly. And I don't get paid to say these things. It's just doing what I'm trained to do.
So, yeah. And you've seen, like you say, you've seen things up close and seen what happens when you don't. When you make the decision not to, and that's just awful.
Yeah, my heart breaks for some of these families who have experienced death from COVID, and it's far more common. It's been it's been probably once a week that somebody tells me they mm-hmm. lost someone, or and on several occasions it's been a father, you know, a young father. So it's, yeah, it's horrible. I never thought something like this would happen. So.
Pediatrician Dr. Richard Irwin here from Mary Washington Healthcare Pediatrics. We'll take a quick break and conclude this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Opinions, we've all got them, and we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Mary Washington Healthcare Pediatrics pediatrician Dr. Richard Irwin, our focus and our guest this morning. So in the few minutes we've got left here, Dr. Irwin, keeping kids safe and healthy during the winter, what do you suggest?
Well, I think you mentioned a couple of things, Ted. So certainly I think wearing, you know, if they're over two, wearing masks in public settings is helpful. And I don't think it's a super big infringement. I think we even kids get used to wearing it and don't mind it. I don't think this forever, but as far as it's winter time and rates are high, you know, I think it's what we should be doing right now.
Yep.
I think it's the responsible thing to do. The other, you know, if I know you mentioned we were going to talk about what to do if your kid does get sick. So
yeah.
One thing, so first of all, I would say if we have any significant, you know, cough, congestion, fevers, anything else, I would stay home, and I would touch base with your kid's pediatrician. And so, you know, that's, we are fielding these calls. That's what we're here for. And we can, most offices now have telemed as well, so we can, you know, do a telemedicine visit where we can, you know, we can see your mm-hmm. kid, how they're acting, see how they're breathing, talk to you face to face and see, and, you know, just help triage things and say, oh, you know, you need to come in for a test. You know, we need to, you know, maybe we do need to check your oxygen or listen to your lungs. Maybe not. Maybe you have a history of allergies and you know, we can help direct care, you know, remotely without having you come in. You know, so there are different options, and, you know, I would just, you know, invoke, you know, call on us, because that's what we're here for. And that's how I would handle that. But In terms of prevention, yeah, I would try to avoid sort of unnecessarily large and risky indoor things right now. Mm-hmm. I think that's the responsible thing to do, and I don't think it's going to be forever. But I think you know, insofar as we can do this and just help protect the older and more vulnerable people and in our families, I think that's the thing to do.
And I guess and sometimes we forget, especially if you've got grandparents around. Careful about that.
Right. I mean, and, you know, I don't want to discount. Kids can get COVID. They sadly can get sick. And even though it's rare, almost all kids will do fine. But more so is let's protect the vulnerable and unvaccinated adults. Because that's how I've seen kids, in my experience, be impacted more from COVID is through you know, the emotional and psychological impact of losing a family member, and it's a big deal. You know, we don't think about it, but you know, when you see these kids struggling, that in itself is a major life event. It's a medical one, you know, because mental health matters. So
yeah, you taking new patients?
Yes, we take new patients over at Mary Washington Pediatrics. Yes.
Okay, Mary Washington Healthcare Pediatrics. Dr. Irwin is out over on Salem Church Road. Great stuff this morning. These are times I think we all have questions, and especially young parents with everything. And I guess the key thing. Get yourself vaccinated, and now you can get your kids 5 and up vaccinated.
Yes, please do it.
Please do it. Great stories. Thanks for what you're doing in the community. And what a great story you are of a Massaponics High School grad and came back and wanted to contribute to the community.
Well, yeah, it's really fun to be able to come back and see, to help take care of, you know, people who I grew up with sometimes and take care of their kids. So it's really cool.
When I walk by on the weekends on Salem Church Road, your office, I'll look up and see your sign and say, I know someone there. Dr. Irwin, thank you so much. Thanks for what you're doing and what all you guys with everyone at Mary Washington Healthcare Pediatrics doing for the community. Thank you.
My pleasure, Ted.
Pediatrician Dr. Richard Irwin, our guest this morning. Stay safe. Thank you for listening. We'll see you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear Town Talk anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.